Good morning, and thank you for joining us for our online service here at Brookside Baptist Church. I can truly say, I think I speak for all of us, that we miss one another. We miss being able to come together and corporately worship God and spend time in His Word and the fellowship. I miss the fellowship out in the lobby and here in the auditorium before and after the services. We have decided to pre-record this week. Last week, we went online, and right before we went online, our web server went down, and I know many of you have contacted us. You had problems trying to view the service, and so the Lord willing, we're trusting that this week you'll be able to view the service on Sunday morning without any difficulties, and that's our real hope and our prayer and how we have prepared this week. And I appreciate Aaron and Aaron Cole and James Coulter and all their work in helping us prepare for our service today with all the technology. In our pastor's meeting last week, as we're talking about, we're experiencing together this quarantine and shutdown, that it might be best to temporarily move aside from Revelation for a short time, and for us really to focus our attention on God through this time of and seeking His strength and seeing His comfort all throughout the Scriptures during these difficult times of testing. You know, we want to see God in all of this, and God is not surprised by what all has been happening. God is in control. And when we are able to see God in all of this and in all of our lives, we're going to find ourselves thinking more about Him than we are the coronavirus. And when we realize that we're thinking more about God, we're going to see there's been a transformation in our thinking, moving away from man and man's frailties to God and His faithfulness, to God and His sovereign strength and care and comfort for us. It's during times that, like we're experiencing right now, where we will understand if we're depending more on Him than we are in our own stockpiled resources, or if we're more trusting of Him and focused on Him than we are focused on the state of the virus through all the different news outlets. Friends, if the Lord tarries, this might not be the only pandemic virus that we will see ourselves going through. But it is so important for us as believers to know there is a divine purpose at work in all of us. And it's important for us to remain focused in our thoughts on our Heavenly Father and His power and His control through all of what we might find ourselves going through. I have not heard of anyone in our church family who has tested positive to this COVID-19 virus. And for that, I'm very thankful. I know many of us are praying for our church family right now that no one would test positive for this. I do know there are those who have been around folks who have tested positive, and they have self-quarantined themselves right now. And I am praying for them. But I do know that we have people within our body who have battled cancer, people who've battled Parkinson's disease, chronic pain in their body, some that have battled heart disease and have had heart surgeries, those that have been battling with tumors within their body, possibly brain surgery, those who've suffered from pneumonia, those who've suffered from joint pain in their knees or some sort of gout. I do know we have those that are suffering through those these kind of trials and sufferings right now. And I do know that we've had folks, and my heart goes out to them because Kathy and I have been through this, who had a miscarriage. And their child went immediately to be in the presence of God. I do know within our body that we have families who've suffered through the collateral damage of a marriage that's gone awry. I do know that we have folks within our body whose grown children have become prodigals. Oh, it hurts. I do know right now within our church body of those who own businesses that they've had to shut down their business, and some who've lost their jobs. And they still have bills to pay, and they're wondering how they're going to make that next house payment. Some possibly even thinking, do we have to go file for bankruptcy through this? These are all struggles that many of us are going through at this time, and they're all unexpected. And can I tell you, it happens to good people. Someone said, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, bad things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, the sun shines on the just and the unjust, and it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, there are folks who can make foolish choices and decisions, and they have unfortunate outcomes, and philosophically, we can kind of explain why that went the way it went. But when you have good people who have a passion and love for the Lord, and their heart is wholeheartedly sold out for Him, and they go through intense trials, and it might be just one after another, it takes us back to the time of Job of old, who went through just intense pain and heartache. And it was Job who actually said, my steps used to be bathed by cream, or with cream, or with butter. But what happened? Job cried out to God and said, have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you made me a target so that I'm a burden to myself? Whatever circumstances that you might find yourself suffering through right now, there can be a maze of emotions, up and down of where I am, not only emotionally, but how it can affect me spiritually. And just as Job, we begin to ask those questions. Why? Why this? Why me? Why now? Can I tell you, no one is exempt from pain and suffering. And yet, I'm sure you've talked to many people who brought up this argument against God, saying, well, if God is so good, and if God is in such control, then how can God allow something like this to happen? How can God allow sickness and disability and accidents and sin and death and tragedy to exist in the context of God's goodness? Does our Bible have anything to say about pain and suffering and heartache? Ladies and gentlemen, our Bible is overflowing. It's brimming with testimonials and examples of great servants of God who've gone through all kinds of pain and suffering and torment. God Himself, even bringing redemption to the world through His Son Jesus, experienced pain and heartache and suffering. If you remember Jesus, while He was in His earthly body, in His humanity on this earth, He went up against some major giants, like loneliness, temptation, sorrow, rejection, weariness, misunderstanding, torturous pain, and even death. I think you remember there the night which he was betrayed, in those early morning hours as he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to his heavenly Father. And he said, "Father, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what you will." Can I tell you, Scripture is filled with those who've gone through heartache. This past Friday, I just opened up in the short moments I have with you each week, Psalm 13. And David, writing this psalm while he was in a cave, and several of David's psalms were written. I think there's seven, possibly maybe even eight, of his psalms that were written while he was in a cave. He was hiding from King Saul, who wanted to take his life. And he was lonely. He was destitute. In Psalm 13, he asked four rhetorical questions, the same: how long, how long, how long? But I'll tell you, when David, in those moments in the cave, was able to turn his thinking back to God, he ended Psalm 13 with, "He has dealt bountifully with me." What a remarkable change of heart. Abraham suffered. Jacob suffered. Job, Jeremiah suffered. Peter and Paul went through unnatural deaths. And the Bible includes just frequent testimonies over and over of men and women in the dark night of their souls who lived through pain and heartache. Friends, I can't give you immediate answers of what you or I may be going through right now in our life on this earth. But can I tell you, as much as circumstances change in our life, this book does not change. God's word is for us today, and his principles are timeless. And I believe we have a passage of scripture that the Lord really directed us to in preparation for this message today that I think is heavenly, to see that the God of the universe is a God of comfort to his dear people. And I would invite you there in your home to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll talk a little bit more about this letter that the Apostle Paul penned under the inspiration of God's Spirit, but it's a personal letter. It's one where Paul obviously sees that we have similar struggles. We have sufferings and trials that come into our life. And so in this passage, the Apostle Paul is going to deal with suffering head on. And it's suffering that we all experience, and some may be experiencing it to a greater degree than someone else right at this moment. And he begins to untangle for us our earthly perspective, to get our minds back on the God of whom we serve, the God who is the God of all comfort. So follow along with me as I read from our text this morning here in 2 Corinthians. And we'll begin with in chapter 1 with verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." Verse 6. "Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Let's go to the Lord and just ask His blessing on our time this morning here in the Word. Our precious Heavenly Father, this is Your message for us today. I'm simply a messenger. We are, Father, to have strength and confidence in You that will only happen as we trust You and we trust the leading of Your Spirit using the Word of God to work in each of our hearts. Father, during these fearful times that we find ourselves, may we have a Word-filled life. We're not the fear of virus or cancer or some terrorist or the future or a new job or a loss of job or whatever it might be. Our confidence and our hope is in You, for You are the God of all comfort. You are our merciful Father. Help us not to be fearful, but to find ourselves in meditation upon Your Word. For when we meditate on Your Word, we see Your promises and Your protection and Your presence all the way to the end of our life. So help us to be faithful and confident in these fearful times. Help us to truly understand Your Word this morning. And it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Well, if you know your Bible well, you know that the Apostle Paul has quite the resume. In fact, the Apostle Paul penned 13 of our New Testament letters, and he traveled all over the known world, planting new churches throughout the Roman Empire. And the letters that he wrote grew out of his travels, and they became accepted as basic theology of Scripture and of the Christian faith. They were inspired of God. And I believe when we look at 2 Corinthians, though, it's different than any of his other epistles. It's as though he is journaling all the things going on in his life and some of the struggles that he's having to bear. It seems as though that Paul is very human to us here in 2 Corinthians. That Paul is very transparent to let us know. And throughout this epistle, there are 6 or 7 passages where he really just shares his heart and the pain and the burden that he's been going through. Sidlo Baxter, an Australian evangelist, theologian, and pastor, wrote this about Paul being human in 2 Corinthians. He said, "While other of Paul's epistles may be more profound, scarcely any could be more precious than his second heart outpouring to the Corinthians." He went on to say it was as though he was writing with a quill dipped in tears from his anguish of heart, and he contains more of a human pathos, feeling of sadness more than any of his other letters of the pain and suffering that these could be going through. Friends, Paul had his struggles. In fact, look with me at just one of the references we find here in this epistle in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you can look over there. I think it might be on the screen for you too. But starting in verse 8, Paul is writing again to these Corinthians, and he's saying this. He uses this word "we" because he's talking about he and Timothy. "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed." That word "perplexed" means without a way. "But we're not in despair." Verse 9, "We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, and that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Since so much of his letter is focusing on pain and suffering, it's not surprising that Paul wants to give these Corinthians some hope, and he wants to give them some reasons for why they're going through these sufferings. And the hope he gives to us is right out of the chute here in verses 3 and 4, that we can be confident and God's comfort. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. And he starts off, blessed. We think back to the Sermon on the Mount with blessed. It's more of a contentment, of a happiness there. But this word blessed, which is the root of the English word eulogy, literally is talking about speaking well of. That God is to be praised. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. And he is the one Paul addresses, because we're blessed. We're blessed because we serve a God who is in total control. He is the person of our comfort. Again, as I mentioned earlier, there is a divine purpose at work in your life and mine, and that divine purpose begins with God. Here in this New Testament passage of Scripture, we see God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that expression come up often within the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the reference many times when God is being named, it's God, the God of Israel, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think I probably have shared this humorous story with you several times, but I remember Dr. Wendell Heller, who pastored for some 30-something years down in Indiana, I think Colonial Hills Baptist Church, and Dr. Heller told the story of how his grandsons went to his home to spend the night with he and Betty, and it was after church on a Sunday night, and they came home, got something to eat, and they said, now it's time, boys, to go to bed. And they said, well, Grandpappy, we want to play a game with you. He goes, well, not tonight. Not Grandpappy can't do that tonight, but Grandpappy will play with you first thing in the morning. So they put him to bed, and early in those morning hours, about 3 a.m., the boys were right there by the side of Pastor Heller's bed, and they were shaking him, trying to awaken him. And when they finally did, he was startled. He said, boys, what is wrong? And they said, Grandpappy, it's morning, and we want to play a game with you. And he rolled over and looked at the clock, and it said 3 a.m. And he said, boys, Grandpappy is way too tired to play a game right now. And they looked at him with all sincerity, and they said, Grandpappy, the God of Israel will give you the strength that you need. I don't think he got out of bed. I think he put him back to bed, and later on that day, they played a game. But the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, we're told here, is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's that connection with Jesus and God? If I recall, I believe in one of the devotionals or teachings that I was able to pick up with Pastor John, he brought in the hypostatic union, the doctrine of the hypostatic union, that Jesus was completely God and he was completely 100% man. And here we have this description, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is in his deity is equal to God, and in his humanity, he is submissive to his heavenly Father. Don't you remember? He said, I must be about my Father's business. And he gives us the title here of his whole redemptive work. We see the word, the name Lord, and it describes for us his deity. Jesus, the Hebrew equivalent, Joshua or Yeshua, he, Jesus, saves. And then we see Christ, a title given to him. This is not his last name. This title of Christ means he's the anointed one, and it sums up everything he did on this earth, that he lived a perfect life, and that he was willing to save people from their sins, and he became that ultimate sacrifice for us. Listen, Paul wants these Corinthian believers to have hope and confidence in knowing that the God of all comfort is watching over them and he's caring for them. And what an encouragement that the person who is doing all of this is our Heavenly Father. He provides this provision for our comfort. And it's him, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There's two words I'd like for you to notice in our text this morning. And these two words are tribulation. Some of your Bibles might have translated it affliction. You see affliction even in the New King James a little later on in our text. And then secondly, this word comfort, and both words stand out repeatedly in our passage, and they go hand in hand. They work together. Tribulation or affliction, you see the word suffering all the way through our text this morning. It could be physical suffering. It could be what we might possibly today call stress and pressure. In many ways, it could be what you're thinking when you are going through these trials, that what might happen in the morning. It might change my security of how I live my life, of my standard of living. That might be a huge pressure you find yourself living in. It's whatever is going to tie your knots in your stomach up and make you feel anxious or troubled for whatever it might be that is getting my mind off of the God and the Father of all mercies. And then he uses this word comfort. The New King James, in these five verses, I believe that word comfort appears six times, but there is 10 particular times that the same root word is used here for comfort. The English Standard Version actually lists the word comfort 10 times for us. It's like this word just literally leaps off the page for us, and the key and understanding the provision of all of this comfort is that he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The same root word for comfort is used 10 times in these five verses, and it comes from the Greek word parakletos, the prefix being para, or alongside, and the root of that, kaleo, meaning to call. If you were part of the intercommunicative Bible study that Pastor John put together last Wednesday evening on the Holy Spirit, this word parakletos or paraclete came up in that study of the Holy Spirit, because that particular word is also another name for the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, 16, we read, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." That's the word, paraclete, comforter, "that he may abide with you forever." In other words, when tragedy strikes and begins to really emotionally and spiritually get us down, fracturing our lives, just like some building that we see being demolished downtown, collapsing, that is when we cry out to God. That's what you see throughout David's Psalms while he was in the cave and he was hurting. He went to the one he knew he could go to. He would cry out to God. That's when we need comfort. That's when we need someone to be there. And it might seem that God is silent in the times in which we're battling or going through trials and suffering and difficulties. But we have been promised in his word right here in John chapter 14, and Paul is trying to get the Corinthians and our attentions back to this, that we've been promised that even though he may be silent, he is there as the Parakletos, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And God, during those times, with the power of his Spirit, he strengthens us. He encourages us. He gives us a peace. And he gives us the perseverance to keep on keeping on during these times of pain and pressures in our life. It's amazing to me, and I'm speaking to myself, it's amazing to me that we as Christians can become so fearful that we're dreading the pressures and the stress of tomorrow, even though we're not totally sure they're going to be there. They defeat us, though, today. Listen, and God's strengthening and God's comfort is available for whatever stress you find yourself, whatever suffering that you're experiencing at this time. Look at the idea there in verse 4. It says he comforts us in all of our troubles. Isn't it interesting? He didn't say who comforts us if we have trouble. Rather, it's assumed that we are all going to have trouble at some point in our life. You know, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he went through difficult times. And in Jeremiah 20, he said, "Why did I come from the womb to see labor and sorrow that my days should be consumed in shame?" Listen, friends, suffering and heartache hurt. But the only way we can experience how God can comfort us during these times is when we're in the midst of the suffering and the pain and the pressures of life. So what hope and confidence that the God we serve is a God of comfort. But secondly, we see a cause for God's comfort in the latter part of verse 4 and verse 5. Listen to what he says. He says that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. And explaining the cause or the reason we suffer, Paul is going to give us two particular reasons why we go through these things, so we can comfort others, and so we can testify of Jesus Christ. Let's look at this first one, that we can comfort others. It's almost like a chain reaction, that when we're going through suffering, God comforts us. And when his comfort begins to be evident that it's at work in our lives, then we in turn can comfort other people. Pastor Tony Evans, pastor down in Dallas, Texas, he's gone through pain and heartache. And listen to what he clearly says in this passage. And I quote, he says, "It's one thing to tell others what God can do, even when we have a Bible in hand. It's a whole different ballgame when we've been there ourselves and put our Bible knowledge to the test in our own experience. God allows our troubles because he sees our opportunity coming. He knows someone else will need the benefit of our experience," end of quote. When you've gone through tragedy and you see another believer or possibly a neighbor, you can go to them and you've experienced it, and the outpouring of your mercy and your comfort is great for them. And the apostle says, that's a reason. Sometimes we want to try to keep our love. I don't want anybody to know what's going on in my life. You know what? Some people need to know what you're hurting or how you're hurting and what you've gone through. Secondly, that we can testify of Christ. Paul considered it a privilege to share in the sufferings of Christ. And here the sufferings of Christ refer to those who are obviously involved in his service. And that's what he was wanting to see also, you know, with the Corinthians. You're involved in the service of the Lord, there's going to be sufferings. And lest we think that Paul is just giving some pie-in-the-sky theory here of comfort during suffering, he shares a very dark moment in his life in suffering for Christ when he was there in Asia. Look with me at verse 8 in the same chapter. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." One thing he shares here is as they're going through these intense troubles and trials to the point of death there in Asia, he said, we do not trust in ourselves. Isn't it wonderful that God says we can come to him and seek counsel from him? That famous passage there in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Don't lean to my own understanding, but in all of my ways acknowledge him." God wants us to seek his counsel, to seek his wisdom during these times, not to depend upon ourselves. But you know, folks, we have been programmed by the world's pull yourself up by your bootstraps philosophy that says, hey, I can get through it and I don't need to tell anybody and I don't need anyone to be praying for me. I can do it myself. I want to just tell you that we need him. And he says, through his apostle here, I'm the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. The same God who is ministering to the Apostle Paul in Corinthians is the same God who ministers to us. And can I tell you, God's comfort will always exceed your afflictions. God's comfort will always exceed your suffering, your pain, your circumstances. You know, it is so easy to want to just, let's say, wax eloquent on the benefits of suffering when life has no difficulties, or it seems like we're relatively pain-free. It's easy to say what we need to say, but finding God's goodness in hearted is much more difficult when you're going through the midst of it. And since many of us are going through similar struggles, even today, notice the apostle's final word of encouragement, verses 6 to 7. He says, you have the consolation of God's comfort. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is also effective for enduring the same sufferings which we, again, he's talking about he and Timothy here, we also suffer. For if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast. Because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. He's consoling that there is hope, there is confidence. And he gives this explanation there in verse 6. That when we suffer, we can still be encouraged. And when we are encouraged, we are patiently able to suffer through the difficulty. And Paul believes both he and Timothy, as they've gone through these afflictions and as they have shared how God has protected and comforted them, that they in tune are really helping the Corinthians through this time. And the application is very obvious there in verse 7, that the Corinthians themselves actually demonstrated the reality of their faith by willingly suffering with Paul and Timothy for the sake of the gospel. And because of what they were going through, Paul and Timothy, the Corinthians came alongside and they were able to partake of the same comfort. As I close this morning, may I just suggest one simple principle for us? This passage suggests for us that our ministry begins as we share with others what God has taken us through and the trials and the difficulties. And the same God who brought Paul through his sufferings for Christ is the same God who comforts us through any trial or suffering that we find ourselves going through. So that means this, that there must be someone out there, and you're the only one who can touch them, for they're in need of help and comfort. There are people who need that word of encouragement. This week, pick the phone up and call someone and give them that word of encouragement, because you might be the only one who can give it. There are friends and family members, and there are neighbors who could benefit from you sharing of your own trials and your own struggles, and yet you come back to the confidence that you have in your Lord. There are some people in our church right now that could use you to give them comfort, to give them help. It might be you just pray for them right there on the phone. Why don't we all ask the Lord to bring one person to our mind this week that we can comfort and we can encourage? And let's be grateful and thankful that we serve the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word and the hope and the confidence it can give us. And Father, may our thoughts and our focus be on you and what you're doing through a virus that has impacted our entire world. And may we be testimonies, even in our pain and our suffering, even if we were to test positive for this virus, that our hope and our confidence come comes from the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. And Father, for those that we have opportunities to touch this week, may you direct our steps. May you give us the words that we could be a help to those that are right near us. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. We look forward to the time, if the Lord tarries, that we'll meet again.